Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, Doug Mellard.
Hola, Doug Benson.
Oh, changing it up. I like it.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Oh, fantastic. Just loving quarantine.
did you try tomato juice on your dog yet?
She seems to just kind of randomly be less smelly. That's such a funny thing to hear right away. Did you try tomato juice on your dog yet? Right out of the gate.
I would like to thank people who have listened to previous episodes.
Of course.
and also I think most people know what tomato juice on a dog means.
Yeah.
So, but you're just used to the smell now is what you're telling me.
Either we're used to it or she's just finally smelling a lot better. But yeah, okay. So she's doing better. Thanks.
Sounds like you got to bring in an outside nose.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
He can't do it because he's in New York, but our guest today is Trey Gallion, and he's got a fun name and he's a fun guy, so let's do it. So like I was saying before that man and that child started screaming at us, we're here today with Trey Gallion. Hey, Trey.
Hey, Dougs.
Hey, buddy.
for the purposes of this show, Trey, I go by DB and other Doug goes by Melly Mel.
Okay. Can we do DB and Dougie? Because I normally just call Doug Mallard Dougie.
You do, and you also call him Mallard. You get everything wrong.
Uh-huh.
I'm used to it.
Yeah, I can't bring myself to say Mallard. It's a East Coast thing. We say our A's different.
Right, but now you're still saying it wrong. You can't bring yourself to say it wrong.
Yeah, it's actually Mellard, but I never correct anybody.
Mellard.
Yeah. It still sounds gross. It's still, lard is a little bit better than lard, but not by a lot.
How long have you two known each other?
Oh, man.
When did you start doing comedy in Austin, Doug?
Like early 2000s, 2002, yeah. 3, something like
that.
Yeah,
almost 20 years.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I know, right? That's just, wow. Yeah. I mean, I was like, maybe 10. No, almost 20 years.
Wow, it's 2 decades.
Was Trey more, were you more established in the Austin comedy scene?
Yeah, but only by a couple of years, you know. I started like 99, 2000, right in there.
So wow, you were still like, you had a few years under your belt, and then little Doug Mellard comes along and you say to yourself, I'm never going to pronounce this guy's name right.
Yeah, exactly.
20 years later, you're sticking to your promise.
This is a 20-year haze.
That was the first thing he said to me. He's like, don't even bother trying to straighten it out with your name because I'm never going to say it right.
That sounds about right. Like, did I really say that? That sounds like something I would say to you.
I guess that's how that scene was, though. We would all take a lot of jabs, especially like the new guys coming in. You'd take some heat.
And But that was a really fun scene around then.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, that was the best. Like, we really lucked out, dude.
Yeah, man. And now it's all gone.
Yeah. If it wasn't for that Austin comedy scene, I might not have become friends with either of you guys.
Right.
Yeah, for real. Because that was the great part about it. The scene was so small back then. Any headliners that came into town, well, we just all hung out with them.
Yeah.
You know? Plus, I mean, a week at Cap City used to be like Tuesday through Saturday.
Wow. Yeah.
Way back in the day.
And then they cut it. Week.
Yeah. And then they cut it to Wednesday through Saturday. So that was like any headliner that came into town, they were hanging with us for the week, you know?
I'll never forget. I feel like Melly Mel was around when this happened. one of the times that I was headlining there for a week fairly early on, David Huntsberger and some other people had like a late night show that they did, I think.
Oh, that was with me probably too. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but I'll never forget that they showed a video, like they made a, you know, a comedy video, where, what's the name of the county?
Williamson County.
Yeah. Yeah. Where this girl, I don't even know who she was. She just kept saying Williamson County. And I don't know why that stuck in my head.
I love it. We were talking about that recently. That was the we were called the Hooligans. And yeah, we had this whole long in and out ongoing sketch about this trip to Williamson County starring Scott Colonico and State. What was Stacy's last name?
I don't remember. Scott and Stacy for
years. Yeah.
Yeah. I think her last name is Smom. Well, speaking of names, now that we've brought up names, finally, I can transition into this question.
Yeah.
Trey is an unusual name. It's a nickname that people have. There's, you know, Trey Cool from Green Day.
Right.
And there's Trey Gallion, who I think is the only Trey or, you know, person that goes by that as their name that I've ever known. How did you, it's because you're the third, I know that, but how and when did it get started that they, like, were you a kid when you started being called Trey?
Yeah. That was my parents. Totally. So like when I was a baby, they were just like, because my granddad, obviously, and my dad are both Carl. And so it was Carl for my granddad, Carl Jr. for
Carl Jr.
Yeah. So like around his family, it's Carl Jr.
Oh, tell us about your sister, Wendy's.
She's got good burgers, but they're square if you're in.
They're not cool, her burgers.
No, which is fitting for her. And so they were like, we don't need another Carl running around the house. And so they came, they just started calling me Trey.
Oh, but just as a baby, they were like, you know, Trey just learned how to walk, that kind of shit.
Yeah. And then my dad called me something. He had another nickname for me.
Oh, is that what's something you could share?
Yeah. He would call me Tiger all the time. Huh. All the time. Tiger. Huh. I even asked him to stop one time, you know, when I was in high school. Because my friends started catching wind of it. Because when they'd call for me, you know, he'd be like, all right, hang on a second. And then he'd yell, Tiger. And then I'd get on the phone and they're like, what's up with the Tiger thing, dude? And so I was like, hey, man, can you not call me Tiger? You know, and it didn't have, he kept calling me Tiger. And so the next day I was like, hey, man, like, never mind about me, not call me Tiger. Just forget I even asked you to not do that.
You're going to do it anyway, you jerk. What was the mascot? Like, what was your team? You weren't on any teams that were the Tigers, were you?
No, unfortunately.
Yeah. So where did that come from?
Panthers. I got close. I was in high school with Panthers and was like, oh, almost so close. But no. I never asked him where it came from. You know,
it is kind of a typical, like, I mean, I think if I had to pick one name, my nickname my dad used for me all the time is, I think he called me Pal a lot.
Right.
And that's probably not something anybody does anymore.
Dude, Buddy. I have a friend that calls Buddy his too. Wife Buddy.
What?
I have a friend that calls his wife Buddy. Same thing. It was just a weird one. Like, you never hear that.
Because they're just close pals and he wishes he was with a man?
Maybe. Oh, man. Well, I guess I'm going to have that conversation with him.
Hey, buddy. I mean, that's not sexy at all.
Yeah, it feels very dismissive.
Not even when you said it all racy-like. Yeah, it's still like, nope.
Oh, I love your lingerie, buddy.
Oh, I got a little bile on the back of my tongue.
Oh, boy. Let's take a shower together, buddy.
That one sounds actually a little better. Like, I might be up for that.
I think I didn't find out that your name is Carl until we started working together closely enough that I had to, you know, book flights and hotel rooms for you. And so then that's, you know, that's when the truth comes out. I mean, that's one thing I know about my friends is what their real name is.
For real.
Have you ever known any Trays, Trey?
No, I've met a couple in passing, but I've never known anybody else named Trey.
Yeah, I don't think I have. What about you, Melly Mel?
Not one other than Mr. Galleon, Tiger.
Yeah, buddy.
Tiger buddy. Yeah, that's...
I'm trying to think of, are there any... what are the famous Trays? There's got to be...
I think you said them. Trey Cool, Trey... who's the... Trey Diggs... but they're all T-R-E. I don't know if there's any other. Oh, Trey Parker is the only other T-R-E-Y I know.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, because Tay Diggs is Tay, not Trey.
Oh, yeah. I'm so bad at Doug Loves Movies, and we're not even on Doug Loves Movies.
Oh, man, Trey Diggs, man. That's the name.
But I don't know if Trey Parker is a third. That's an interesting lookup.
Well, who's Trey Parker? Is that
South Park? Sports?
Yeah.
Huh? South Park. Yeah. Duh. Because I just think of Matt Stone as the genius behind that show.
Wow, dude.
Yeah, Trey Parker. Yeah, was he the third or how did he?
I don't know, man. Now you're gonna get me on my phone and look it up.
Yeah.
Trey Parker.
It's weird because Trey doesn't feel like that uncommon a name, but I guess it is. Like, if none of us know any other Trays, and we're having a hard time thinking up famous Trays, but
yeah, he's a third,
huh?
Randolph Severin Parker the third.
Yeah, so that's just like you say in your act, Trey. There's something about, you know, some people can be the third, and it's not pretentious sounding, but a lot of names really just sound awful when you add that.
Right, exactly.
The third.
Oh, it's so much fun to say it like that too.
Yeah, there's, I think you might.
Try it, Dougie.
Let me give you directions. What you're gonna want to do is you're gonna make a right on third. Okay. So now let's talk Dougs. You know two Dougs. You've known two Dougs quite well for going on, you know, 10, 20 years now.
Yeah.
But what's your experience with other Dougs? How many Dougs have you been friends with or worked with?
Yeah, so it's like, it's a short list. It's, Doug Stanhope. There's another comic here in New York, Doug Smith. And then...
Oh, wow, that guy's really... We should try to get him on the show because... I thought Benson and Mellard were boring last names.
No, dude, yeah, look up Doug Smith. I'm sure he's not the first thing that comes up on Google.
And that's it?
There's another Doug that dated a comedian that hangs out, you know, in the New York comedy scene.
So you just knew that Doug just because it's so-and-so's boyfriend.
Right. Yeah.
So you didn't really get to know him. My point is just that people don't even try to get to know Dougs.
No.
The only Dougs you know are ones you were forced to be around because of stand-up.
And you
know, there is. I do have a Doug in Texas. Doug Hayes, a guy that I'm still friends with from A&M. He's one of the ones that goes on that camping trip I go on every year.
Oh, okay.
But,
yeah.
But yeah, he's an interesting dude. He is full bore to the right, gun toting. But it's fun to have a conversation with him when you got a head full of mushrooms.
it's that's one thing I like to do with mushrooms is carry guns around.
No guns involved. No guns involved during that. Let me make that clear. Yeah, don't do that.
I want to do shrooms and have a gun debate.
Well, that could be really fun.
Yeah, that could maybe get some issues settled.
Trying to take all the anger out of it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, man. When you really break it down to common sense, it's just like, look, if you want a gun, get a gun. If you don't want one, don't get one.
Yeah.
That's usually where my conversations end.
Yeah. That's a good place to, I guess, put it. It's like, if you know, if you don't want to argue with people, that should shut them up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just sort of ends it. But it's a little bit more nuanced argument than that, unfortunately, because of the invention of better guns.
Yes.
Or more advanced guns, I should say.
Yes.
So, okay. I'm going to ask you one more time.
Yep.
You know, this is like a police interrogation where like a person suddenly remembers some important information. That's all the Dougs, you know.
Personally, yes.
All right.
What if we knew more? Like, this is a fact checking thing where we're really grilling them.
Oh yeah.
You left the Doug off the list and we know it.
Yeah.
Yes. Watch, man. I'll get like three messages from Doug's because they listened to this and they were like, what's up, a-hole?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. That's the other thing I don't know about this podcast is it's like, is it attracting Doug's or do Doug's not even care enough to want to hear a show where their name just gets dropped constantly?
I mean, not being a Doug. I mean, I've listened to a couple episodes because it is weird. Because then you start thinking about the name Doug and you're like, yeah, it is kind of a weird name, I guess. There really aren't that many people named Doug.
Yeah, you've known as many Dougs as anyone, probably. There hasn't been anyone that's like, I know 40 Dougs.
No.
Yeah, but I think that's the thing is that people don't take the time to know any Dougs.
Right.
And the Dougs don't jump out at people and make themselves be known. That's why we only know show business Dougs and sports Dougs.
Right, sports Dougs. Like, I could only think of hockey Dougs.
Oh my God. We talk about it all the time, how the lead character in the movie Goon is named Doug.
Doug Glatt. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just it's so perfect. The shy guy that, you know, when he comes out of his shell has an amazing skill that nobody knew about. That's a very Doug-like quality. What's going on with you now, Trey, in terms of, pandemic wise, like, have you done any stand-up comedy?
Just some Zoom shows. I've been going and hanging out at some of the outdoor shows and I found a couple that are pretty cool, like seem like decent scenes. So I'm going to start hitting people up that run them. There's a spot here in New York in Brooklyn called Tiny Cupboard where they have a big roof. And, so they've been doing shows on their roof that look like they're spaced out, you know, the crowd spaced out, and they can get about 40 people, 50 people up there. So,
Whoa. Yeah,
it's a decent crowd too. And then there's a show
Let me ask you about this one.
Okay.
We move on to the next one.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's on a roof, but what else? Like the chairs are provided by the venue.
Yes. Yes. They have little chairs set up, you know, in groups of two or three or whatever, with little tables.
So they actually have chairs of three because there's people that all three of them live together and then they go out to see a show.
I mean, maybe,
or they're letting people mix.
Yeah. I mean, they're not interrogating people like that. Nah,
they're not being careful.
I mean, no, not super careful. There are still a lot of masks. Everybody's wearing masks for the most part. But no, right. I mean, exactly. None of this is, that's why I'm saying, like,
it's that for the most part, like,
right.
I'm out. Like, I don't want to sit around watching some assholes sit there not wearing masks. I either everybody does or nobody does.
Right.
And the nobody does is because, like, they need to be in a car with the windows rolled up or something.
Right.
You know, I think that's my take on it. But because, you know, I was going to do a show in LA and it was on hey, we're doing it on a roof and it's safe and socially distant. And I get there and I see that they're just letting groups of people that are friends sit together and they're letting them take off their masks to eat and drink. So now you've got people sitting right next to each other, eating and drinking and talking and laughing without their masks on. And that's the problem. Yeah. That's why this won't go away, is because people are just giving it to each other willy-nilly because they don't even understand the science of it, you know, or they don't,
right.
care.
And it's again, we might've touched on this before, but like when alcohol is involved, a lot of things go out of the window very quickly.
Well, yeah.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Now that's true. Like I will say,
not going to keep their mask on.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Like we did go to a bar afterwards. And I mean, at that point, yeah, it was there was probably eight of us, you know, all comics. But
when you say you went bar, when you say you went to a bar, you mean
a backyard, like a side yard of a bar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are the kinds of bars that are open.
Yeah. You gotta have, yeah. Because they're still not letting people inside of bars.
Yeah.
Restaurants are at 25%, I think here, but bars, nah, dude, you have to have a backyard or an area out front. You know, they've been building those. They've been probably doing the same thing in LA, but you know, on the street in the parking spots, you know, they'll build a little outdoor area next to the
sidewalk. Yeah. California is, you know, people are mad at the governor cause it's super crazy tight here. All the rules. You know, like they won't let Disneyland open here. And so everybody's mad about that. But so there's not a lot, at least not that I'm aware of. There's not, you'd get shut down if you tried to have any kind of bar. I mean, some people get away with it. Like the Comedy Store has, you know, distance seating on the patio. And then they do shows inside, but they project it onto they put it on screens outside for the people to watch.
Oh, interesting. So you're not performing in front of a crowd then? You're just doing it into the camera?
It tends to be podcasts too.
Like oh, okay.
It tends to be anybody that's got a decent podcast that's a regular at the store seems to be doing the podcast, you know, in that window of the original room.
Yeah, so yeah.
Everybody out there on the patio can see it. But, you know, I think they're constantly struggling with, you know, being shut down all the time for just because the numbers have to be so small.
Yeah.
And they're trying to do business. And like the improv on Melrose, they have, they don't have shows at all, but they just want to, you know, move some alcohol. So they set up some tables out in the outdoor area out in front of the club and are just inviting people to come from 6 to 10. They have to close at 10 o'clock every night. And again, that's probably because they, you know, bars probably have a 10 o'clock curfew and have to be outside. Because people are going to just, if they get too drunk, you know, if they get 12 a.m. or 1 a.m. drunk, then they're going to take their mask off and start screaming at everybody and just spreading shit everywhere.
Well, and like you said, especially if their outdoor seating's out front, like that's the thing here. They have to shut down at 11. Our bar can stay open till 2 because theirs is in a backyard and they don't have neighbors that complain.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So they're allowed to stay open till 2, but yeah, every other place, 11 o'clock.
Yeah. I haven't been to any place that one would call a bar in, 7 months or however long this has been. Like the last one I went to was in Austin, Texas before coming back to LA in April.
Oh yeah. I keep forgetting you were stuck there at the beginning of all this.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, I look back on it and I didn't then, I don't now use the word stuck because it was weird, but it was also kind of nice, you know. Like now my thing is that I've been experiencing the last few days here in LA is that it's still for the most part pretty easy to get around. There's pockets of traffic just because there's plenty of people out and about, but there's just no more rush in the morning or rush at night, you know? So like in general, you can just get around like so much better and so much easier. And that's something I wish that we wouldn't go back to normal because both for the environment and for my own sanity, no traffic is a really nice thing.
Yeah. When we drove out here to Santa Fe at the very beginning and no one was leaving their house ever, it's normally 13 hours. It took us 11 hours to get here. There was no one on the road.
That's crazy. So great.
It was nuts.
And now in the freeways here in LA, everybody's either driving like it's their first time driving or they're at NASCAR. There's no in between. Everybody's either a maniac or like a Sunday driver that doesn't know the directions.
Yeah, man. Hey, that's just like, as long as you stay to the right, homie.
Yeah, they don't though.
No,
on ramp near my house, where you have to get to 55 immediately, or you know the traffic that's already going on the freeway is going to, you know, have to hit their brakes and or crash into you. Right. And people still don't know how to handle that on ramp. They still just drive on it like, oh, I'll get up to 55 in another 10 minutes or so.
Nah, man, you got to punch it. LA does have some brutal on ramps though.
Yeah, they are.
Oh man, there's one that's like a U-turn and then you're on the freeway.
Yeah, dude. Like, you gotta give me some time, man.
That's over by Dodger Stadium. Yeah, and it's fucked up.
Dude, so traffic here was the same. Like, it was nice being out and everything, but because there was nobody. But then like 2 weeks ago, it started going back to normal. And I don't know if that's because school started up again or kids were actually having to go to school.
People are just like, it's over.
But everybody that works in an office discovered through this that it's just ridiculous that people are going to and from an office every, you know, 5 days a week.
Dude, like I imagine the office real estate market here has just got to go to crap after all this.
I guess, or you know, I mean, some companies are going to keep their offices, but I'm just saying that like the rush hour kind of concept of, you know, people all working 9 to 5, it's not necessary.
No.
Yeah,
you know, it's just there's plenty of jobs that, you know, plenty of people who just work at a desk with a phone and a computer, and you could have that at a, you know, at a bench out in the park or down at the beach.
No, for real.
You know, yeah. What I mean? Why do you have to go to this goddamn office? And then, you know, and then their argument would be, well, to interact with the other employees. And then it's like, well, hello, Zoom, you know, like,
right.
That solved that problem. So, you know, I just think the whole economy and the way people live is there's going to be a massive shift from this, especially also if people don't get it together and help to end this. You know, I think there's so many people that just want it to be over so badly that they're ignoring the fact that it's just dragging it out by not participating.
Right. Their brain's backwards. They're like, I'm done dealing with this, so I'm not going to follow the rules. And it's like, well, that you're an idiot.
Yeah. And then 2 weeks later, I got it. What happened? Yeah. Oh, come on.
It's because you didn't follow the rules, dum-dum.
Yeah. I still can't get over that there are people that like don't think it's absolutely hilarious and ridiculous that the president was mocking it and then got it and then got over it because of expensive drugs being pumped into him 24/7 that nobody else can get.
Right. Social health care.
And now we don't even know. We don't even know how COVID-y he was. You know, it might have been, they might have just been using an abundance of caution, taking him to the hospital. Maybe, you know.
Right.
Maybe he just had a very slight case of it, because that's the other thing about it is depending on the load of your droplets that you get in your system.
The load of your droplets.
Yeah, the viral load is different every time. So the severity of the COVID in the individual is different every time. So that's why some people get a mild version of it and think, oh, I'm good to go. But now they're saying they might have horrible heart disease 10, 15 years from now.
Well, and then respiratory problems too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is a fun, cheery conversation.
Yeah, hot damn. What happened there? How did we get on this? I'm high.
I can't stop talking about it. It's my problem. But I will say this. Doug and I have both prepared some questions for you, Trey, and questions for all of us, really.
Okay.
That it's called 10 questions. We each came up with 5, and we will grill you with those questions after this quick break. We'll be right back.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're back. We're here with Trey Gallion.
Hey.
The third.
Yes.
Is it redundant to say the third?
Yeah.
First name is Trey?
Yeah, totally.
Because you're not the third Trey.
No.
You're the first Trey. You're Trey.
Yeah.
Trey's first.
Yeah, man.
Have you ever thought about, because I know people have done it and it doesn't seem to be that difficult to legally change your name?
No, I've never even thought about it. Because even for like taxes and stuff, you know, they ask you, do you use any other names? And I just put in, yeah, Trey. Yeah. You know, so I've never needed to. Plus, I kind of like having it, on my driver's license. I mean, you know, it's my family name.
Yeah, it's nice to be reminded who you really are.
Yeah, man, for real. You know, I mean, yeah, because I that stuff means a lot. I had some conversations with my granddad right before he died about comedy because the rest of the family was giving me grief about it. And, so we had a very nice conversation where he basically told me not to worry about what everybody else thinks and do what I love doing.
That's so nice. And also, what are these other people saying to you?
Well, you know, that side of the family is pretty conservative and Christian, and they had found some clips, you know, on YouTube, and it's my cousins have kids, you know, that are teenagers, preteens, and so they found some of my stuff online. And
They must hate your fuck God in the face bit.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that's half his act.
Because do you feel you've strayed from them with the religious wise, or do you feel like you're still sort of a religious person who doesn't necessarily read the Bible and all that stuff?
I mean, I don't read it as nearly as often as I did growing up, but I'm still religious. Yeah, I think with my parents, the job that they did working with churches, you know, I mean, you get to see the real side of religion, and it is pretty ugly. So it put that side of it into perspective for me. So there are a lot of parts about organized religion I don't like, but then, you know, I've also been through things in my life that have led me to believe what I believe. You know?
Yeah.
The part about organized religion that I don't like right now is that they all think that going to church is going to, that's how you get into heaven.
Yeah.
And that by not being allowed to go to church, it's somehow going to change, they're going to get turned away when they die. I saw a pastor in San Diego on the news I like saving lives, but what I really need to do is save souls.
Right.
So he's basically saying, everybody just come gather together because having your soul saved is more important than living.
You can go to heaven a lot faster.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really, I mean, we had to go to my brother's church when I was in Tennessee in May, and that was really uncomfortable. I was like, why are we even doing this?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like something that should be happening, but there we are. That's where we're at, is it? Faith is more important than facts, I guess.
Yeah, and see, that's the problem. It's just people just don't use common sense, man. It's just just think about it for 2 seconds. Why would, like, all the churches here still closed and we're doing just fine. Like, the church that I go to, the pastor puts out his weekly sermon on their podcast and you can listen to it on there if you want. You know, yeah. Like, yes, yeah. This saying you have to go into church is ridiculous and absurd hill for them to die on, which they literally might die on.
You're also supposed to, like, take care of your neighbors, which you're not doing if you're spreading a virus that can kill people. Like,
And they, you know, these reporters put a microphone in these people's faces and they just get to say these things. And then there's no discussion. There's no, the reporter doesn't go, but don't you think, you know, like, they just show these sound bites of people saying these idiotic things. And, like, in the case of this one pastor that I saw, it probably is costing, he's probably suffering financially because the church isn't running. So that's why he wants to give sermons. And he's, you know, saying it's to save souls and that church is important. But church is just important to him because it's his job. You know, that's like if you worked at a 7-Eleven and they said, hey, we've decided no one can ever go to a 7-Eleven. If you work there, you'd be like, what? No, people should come here.
Yeah. Because you're a rational human being. And that's what the first thing a rational human being would think would be like, okay, if this guy's pushing that hard for this, what's his motivation?
Right.
You know,
that's really the case for, I don't know about the spots where you guys are at, or if you even watch regular commercial television, but there's a lot of TV shows I watch where, you know, I have to sit through the commercials and the ads for propositions and for candidates at the very end, it says, you know, they have to say on the screen who paid for the ad.
Right.
And it's the money always gives away which side is the evil side. Like, it's always the big corporation that's putting money into yes or no on something or a certain candidate, you know, and then, you know, the other ads, you either don't see the opposition ad at all because they don't have any money, or you see them less because there isn't some, you know, powerful, company behind it, you know?
Yeah. I just read an article today about the LA thing, you know, with the big Uber, that they've spent more money lobbying that your guys' state government than any other proposition in the history of California.
Yeah. Oof. And they finally,
like, $190 million they've spent on lobbying your guys' state government for that thing.
Yeah. To basically not only make it so that Uber, Lyft, et cetera, can continue doing what they're doing, which is just employing people without any, you know, giving them any health benefits or, you know, not allowing them to unionize or any of that stuff.
Right.
It not only if this passes, will it allow them to keep doing that? It also is in the proposition that it can't be brought up for a vote again in the future.
Yeah.
It's like a permanent, you know, they're trying to make, or maybe it's like 7 or 8 years or some stupid thing, but it's like, it's definitely like part of the proposition is making it, is cementing it. It's just like,
that's so ridiculous. Like any state representative that has their name on that thing, if they're your representative, you should call them and bitch them the fuck out and be like, how much money are you getting for this, dude?
Because
this
is ridiculous. They're definitely getting, you know, handouts for it. But I haven't seen a lot of politicians taking one side or the other on that proposition. But I just know that almost every commercial break has ads. And it started off, the ads were all... This is how it started off. It started off that the ads would say, they just highlight part-time drivers. And it would be people saying, I have to have my Uber job just to make a living because my main job isn't enough. So I'm happy to be an independent contractor and pick up these hours whenever I feel like it. And so basically what they're saying is, you know, yeah, we should have a lot of incompetent drivers out there that are just doing it when they feel like it, and that have a real job that probably is taxing as well. So they're probably also like real sleepy and tired when they're doing their Uber driving.
Oh, that's definitely happened.
You know, and then, which of course I feel sorry for people that have to have more than one job. That sucks to be able to, you know, cost of living so high, you can't just get by on your one job. But basically all of these employees, all the Uber employees that work for them full-time, which is maybe only like 20% of the drivers, but all of them have absolutely no benefits or anything to show for being a full-time employee somewhere.
Right.
So it's just a messed up thing. Cause you do feel bad for these people that, like, if Uber just went away, a lot of people would be fucked, both drivers and passengers, if they just left California. And that's their threat, is that they'll just leave if this proposition doesn't go their way, you know, cause they're claiming they can't afford to let the drivers unionize and all of that. So now the ads, though, have shifted to the lady in charge of Mothers Against Drunk Drivers is saying that the reason that Uber should be allowed to continue to exist the way it does is because otherwise there'd be a lot more deaths from drunk driving.
Oh, come on.
That's their argument now.
Wow.
Who's against drunk driving think that the Uber should exist. And that's not taking into account that Uber drivers, a lot of them suck at it, and a lot of them, they could be drunk too. Why would they not?
Exactly. Oh,
I had a bit about a woman in Austin that picked me up and was openly drinking from a box of wine.
Well, do you remember Austin already went through this? Austin, they pulled the same threat in Austin, and Austin was like, all right, see you later. And so they had to leave, and they did the same thing in Austin. They went to the state government and made the state government pass something that said that they could operate, that superseded the city's rule.
Yeah, I remember that it went away and came back.
Yeah. And that's the only reason it came back, was because they went over Austin's head, I guess, essentially, and went to the state government.
Yeah, we know the governor there sucks.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had some fun in that state, but never with any of the politicians there.
Any of those politicians there show up, then it turns.
I probably would have had some fun with Ann Richards, though.
Yeah, she, I was going to say, Ann Richards, chill. She'll throw him back.
Yeah, man. All right. Well, and her kids trying to rouse shit up.
Now we're getting behind schedule here with all that talk, but that was interesting. And I do enjoy talking about it. Like, I feel bad tweeting about the California propositions because, you know, tweets go worldwide. And so they don't even know, a lot of people don't even know what I'm talking about.
Right.
You know, so it's nice to get it out somehow that people should not allow this Uber thing to happen. But like I said before the break, Doug and I, Melly Mel has prepared five questions. I prepared five questions. Which would you like to go first or second?
I'll do first. I'll go first.
Okay. So we have a ton of time. So just, give us your answer.
So this is just about anything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's just random ass questions. I get high before I write mine down.
Perfect.
And then I'm kind of surprised by when I read them back, but okay, go ahead, Melly Mel.
We were getting into some quarantine stuff earlier. I'll ask this. What is something that you found annoying pre-quarantine that you would be happy to see right now? Does that make sense?
Oh, a baby in a bar.
Bothered him before this all happened.
But right now, just to get back out there.
It wouldn't be so annoying now.
Yeah.
A baby in a bar. Yeah, I would be willing to deal with a baby in a bar right now if I could just be inside of a bar. Yeah.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
There's so much I feel like we'd put up with right now just to be able to get back to normal.
Yeah, it's I'm having trouble thinking of one, though. I'm still irritated by the same things.
The first thing that came to my head was mosh pits. Like, I would be around a mosh pit right now and be like, that's great. Good for them. I'm just happy to be at a concert.
Mosh pits kind of were drying up anyway, right? Even before COVID, it was more exclusively just to the more hard-edged music.
A little bit. We saw one back in October during Wu-Tang, and it was just kind of like this, I don't even know why they had a mosh pit. And Flynn, my wife, we were both on a lot of mushrooms, and she got very irritated because they kept just slamming into us. And I was like, look, you can't tell 40 dudes to stop. Like, it's just let them do their thing. And she grabbed a guy by the arm and just goes, stop it, just like a teacher. And then the whole pit stopped. And we don't know if we were just tripping really hard, we imagine that, or if it really happened.
That's crazy. I was in a mosh pit once at a show where a guy that's like the dude that just jumps around on stage and just is sort of a road manager who participates in the act, where he was like moshing into me really hard during another band on the same bill. So I was like doubly annoyed by this guy that he's like in the show, but somehow in the crowd wearing overalls and bashing into me. And I pushed him all the way to the ground at one point.
Yeah.
Were you subtle about it or aggressive?
It was just very, I was trying to be like very clear that I didn't want him to hit me anymore. And he just went all the way down. But this isn't a question for me. This is, we're here.
Well, anybody.
We're here to grill Trey Gallien III.
Yeah, right.
Go for Trey,
it. Yeah.
What would you like? I mean, this is a kind of not exactly like Doug's question, but similar. What would you like to have a wall built around that Mexico would pay for?
Wow.
I'm guessing your answer would be a baby in a bar.
Well, that would obviously be my first answer. But I don't want to be super redundant like that.
Oh, how about not to put words in your mouth, but how about build a wall around Texas politicians
or Trump?
Dude, yeah.
Can you imagine if Mexico just was like, yeah, let's just put we'll pay for a wall around him.
Dude, just Texas in general. You could even throw Oklahoma in there.
I was supposed to go to Oklahoma, you know, the date moved a couple of times this year and then we just gave up. But I think it's one place. A lot of places are doing reduced capacity.
Yeah.
You know, like 25% or whatever. Are either of you guys into that at all? Or would you rather not travel to go?
I mean, I know Helium Philly is doing some indoor shows, limited seating, and I mean, I'd go there, I guess.
I mean, I recorded an album this weekend here in Santa Fe, and I controlled every variable, and I'm still a little nervous. You know what I mean? Until the 2-week period is up, because God forbid anybody, you know, whatever. Like, and again, I handpicked everybody. We were very careful, all that stuff. But I think especially now we're ramping up into a spike. So it's just, I'm not traveling. Like, I know a lot of the airplanes are safe and stuff, but it's the airports and all the things in between that, and it just takes one person, you know?
Oh yeah. And someone told me recently, I haven't read it myself, but I believe it, that when, first of all, the story that came out that planes are the safest place to be, you know, the study was conducted by United Airlines.
Yeah.
And one of the other airlines. And then also there's just so many things they're not taking into account that people on the, if everybody sat and looked straight forward and left their masks on the entire time,
sure,
then sure, maybe it'd be a safe environment.
And but, don't go to the bathroom ever.
But that's the thing. Right. Everybody's going up and down the aisles the whole time. Everybody's moving in and out of their seats. If if the middle seat's full, you've got someone right next to you. If they turn and talk to you, right, that's the most dangerous thing, is to just be, you know, right next to someone else who's talking and potentially, you know, talking loudly because they're on a plane or whatever. People will pull down their masks to eat or to talk on their cell phone before the plane takes off. And then when they get yelled at to put it on, then it becomes, well, now we're arguing about politics, even though politics shouldn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
So it's just like planes and airports, especially, I just feel like just so many bodies running around an airport, even if they have little dots on the floor that show what 6 feet apart is, why would children or pets or, you know, anybody, right, so many people, right, that would just disregard those things.
Yeah. The most nervous I've been through this whole thing was on, you know, two airplanes and in one particular airport.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just it's scary. And that's also there. I read that, even if comedy clubs open back up and said, hey, we're at full capacity, come on in. Like, certainly there's probably some comics that are just popular enough that they pack the place. comics that right. would normally play a big theater or an arena or something, you know, they could pack these clubs, but most comedy shows would be poorly attended just because the people are scared to go.
Right.
You know, yeah. just because, you know, the fact that they're closed doesn't mean that everybody's dying to get in there. It just means that they're, you know, they're closed and we don't know exactly what would happen when they open up, you know? And for me personally, when they reduce the capacity by down to a quarter, you know, that's also reducing your potential for earnings. If you, right. have, you know, if that's how you perform, if you have like door deals or whatever. So it's just like, well, then.
You'd have to do more shows for less people spread out, which, you know, before all this, if you showed up to a show in a smaller capacity, you kind of have a panic of like, well, this isn't going to be fun, you know, and now it's on
yeah, purpose. and you want everybody to sit together. Like when it's a small crowd,
exactly, yeah.
sit all over the room, it sucks.
Yeah.
Well, and then of course, it'd only be worth it to do stuff, you know, near where you live, like around LA, you know, but to do yeah. that on the road, like you said, it's more time to do more shows if you're going to do it like that. Otherwise you're not going to make enough money to hardly cover your plane tickets, you know?
Yeah. Then it comes down to, there are some comics out there that are complete road dogs that are just going around from town to town, still doing it because they are addicted to the attention and being on stage.
Right.
And getting away from their families, I think, in some cases.
I mean, the one thing that I hope that this does do is and I think it will, is just kind of strengthen the scene for the indie venues, you know?
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, I've had a lot of fun, you know, over the last few years doing shows at indie venues, you know, than at comedy clubs.
Yeah.
Those places are also just shutting down and staying shut down because they can't afford the rent to wait this out.
Right. Right.
So many of our favorite venues are just, you know, completely closed. But some of my favorite venues, I have, dates on the books for next year, you know, just in case we get there.
Yeah. No, right. I'm hoping the Velveeta Room makes it.
Yeah, what's going on with that? That's a small club in downtown Austin.
Yeah, but I think that the Esther's Follies people, I think they may own that building.
Yes, I think we're at least good for a little bit, but, you know, just depending on how long this drags out. But sounding okay right now, I think. But
yeah.
Okay.
We'll see how long this goes.
All right, your next question, Doug.
Have you made any bizarre stone purchases during quarantine to fill a void?
Oh man. I bought a motorcycle helmet.
Oh really?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause right before this, I was planning on going to get my permit and, you know, taking the safety course and looking to get a motorcycle. And,
So you bought a motorcycle helmet before having a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Wow. I love it.
Yeah.
Yep. So you decided that motorcycle is not a good idea now?
No, it's just I can't go get my permit because the DMV, you have to do it by appointment and you can't get an appointment. Like I check every day, but they're just all booked up because they only do certain things at the DMV right now. And there's only
right.
three here in Brooklyn where I can get a motorcycle permit.
Wow. DMV before COVID, already terrible. During COVID, sounds like the worst.
Dude,
it must be so awful.
Yeah, it's horrible because it's like, especially for that, because you'd be like, it's just for my permit for a motorcycle license, which is just a written test. So why can't I do that online?
I don't know. The whole DMV thing is amazing to me. Like, because I had to get my license renewed recently and it included an eye test and they have you hang around for so long near where you can just see the eye test. You can right. just learn it before they ask you to read it.
Oh my God.
And so I was able, like, I was like, you know, do, and also not to mention the fact that I just don't think that they make it small enough to make it a real challenge, you know, cause I know my eyes suck and I could still read it fairly well. Cause I said to the lady, I go, well, it already says on my current license that I must wear prescriptive lenses, but can I try the test without the, with, you know, and see if I can just do it without my glasses. And, you know, and she was like, okay. And then I did it and she's like, oh yeah, you're good. So now my new license doesn't say I have to wear prescriptive lenses, even though,
oh, hot damn,
I should. Yeah. I mean, I was just, you know, fucking around. I was like,
well, I love it.
Wow. Way to go. Fucking around. And now you made it unsafe for everybody.
No, but I wear my glasses because I know that I need them. All right. Trey, with winter fast approaching, it's time to put on more covers.
Yeah.
What's your favorite cover song of all time?
Oh, man.
A little wordplay in that question.
This is a good one. Aretha Franklin's Son of a Preacher Man.
Oh, ooh. I bet you that is good.
Dude, with the background singers. Oh, yeah. They hit a groove.
Where did you hear that?
It was when we looked up on Spotify, but it was me and another buddy were having a conversation about cover songs. And so he was like, dude, it's amazing. Just pick a song that you like and punch it into Spotify, and then you'll see who's done covers of it. And so that was one of the first ones I did and saw Aretha Franklin and was like, oh, I haven't heard that one.
I really enjoy the covers station on Sirius XM, where it's just all just covers of known songs by different people. And I don't know what it is, but I like hearing a woman's voice singing a song that was popularized by a man.
Right?
Almost every time I like it.
Yeah, for real.
My favorite is, not that anybody asked, but it's Hazy Shade of Winter by the Bangles.
Oh, you know, right.
Their version of it, because it was a Simon and Garfunkel song. And maybe they even, it was maybe a cover when they did it, but I love their version of it that was in, it was featured in that movie Less Than Zero.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy that like most of the people that you like old school, like even Elvis, the Rolling Stones, like they got their start doing cover songs.
Right. A lot of country music too. A lot of Johnny Cash. They all pass their songs along to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like COVID.
Country music's like COVID.
Your turn, Mally Mel.
Okay. What is a movie that you might have liked when you were younger that wouldn't hold up for you now if you watched it?
That's kind of hard to know. If it should be what one did you watch again that didn't hold up?
Oh, yeah, I guess.
How would he know it's not going to hold up?
True.
You could guess.
What was one that didn't hold up?
Like a lot of people say Fight Club. I still enjoy Fight Club.
No. Yeah. I was thinking I'm thinking even further back. Like I watched Chitty Chitty Bang Bang the other day and that still holds up.
Well, that's because you love children in cages. That's a long ass movie. You watched all of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang recently?
Yeah, and I didn't realize that it was that long either.
Oh my God, it's got like musical numbers and everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you, pretty little car. Oh, chitty chitty bang bang, we love you. Near, far, in a motor car.
I like when they let all the dogs run wild in the sweets factory.
Yeah, and then I love the king's wife. She's pretty funny.
Oh yeah, she's a silly pants.
Yeah.
That's a weird ass movie. I mean, a lot of those kids movies from back in the day, they've got some really scary shit in there for a movie that's supposed to be fun for the whole family.
Dude, right. Bugsy Malone, a whole gangster movie with kids.
Yeah. Where they shoot each other with pies.
Right.
You know, or whipped cream looking things, but then they imply that they're dead when they get hit with them. Like the character doesn't show up again. They're dead.
No, right. Yeah.
It's the same confusing thing that happens in Lego Batman where they go pew pew instead of shooting a gun, but the people they're shooting at are still being hit like they're being shot.
Right.
Right.
So it's like, well, I guess it's less violent, but it's still,
we know what's happening.
Exactly.
Well, they're using Tommy guns to shoot the pies, you know?
Okay. Question number three, Trey. Do you like these questions, or would you rather be skateboarding right now?
I mean, I like these questions just because I get to talk to you guys, you know? But do, I mean, come on, skateboarding is a lot of fun.
Yeah. He's skateboarding in his head.
Exactly. Okay, go ahead, Melly Mel.
Have you, since Zoom has really come into our lives, have you had any Zoom mishaps, any embarrassments?
Yeah, I got fired from the baseball job because I was jerking off during a Zoom meeting and didn't realize my camera was on.
That was you? I thought it was somebody else.
Yeah, no. They weren't allowed to release the name, obviously, but exclusive.
I mean, didn't you just tell him that you were choking up on the bat?
Yeah, I was like, this one's going into extra innings, fellas. I might need a relief pitcher.
I love that you brought your real life job into your answer, but you still have that job?
Yeah, I still have it.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I thought buried in there was I got fired and I'll make a joke about it because I was jerking off.
Baseball's been very cool to me. I like that job.
That's good. Because it's funny, Doug and I both thought of sports questions. My question for you is, as a sports fan,
yep.
Which sport do you think has been the most overall ruined by this pandemic happening?
Oh,
because some sports they've been, you know, like basketball, they really pulled it off.
Yeah,
really
basketball is great.
They managed to have a real season and a real conclusion and everything.
Can I jump in here with Trey? Because you might, I'm worried about the NFL because it feels like every day. I know you're a big NFL fan. Hockey did a great job again, but yeah, every day it feels like four players got put on the COVID list in the NFL on four different teams. So I don't know if they're going to finish the season, which is crazy.
Right. That's the problem with the NFL was like, they're not doing any type of bubble for anything. Hockey did a bubble. Basketball did the bubble. Right. Yeah. They're football. They don't need to do the bubble.
Well, the NFL screwed up every social issue ever. So why did I think they were going to get this right?
I mean, the only one they got halfway right was not letting fans into the stadiums, but they've only done it. You know, they still have what? Three stadiums now that are letting fans in.
Yeah, like thousands and thousands.
Yeah, and yeah. I saw last night in the World Series, you know, they showed a guy in the stands catching a ball with his mask around his neck and sitting back down next to a woman and another woman with their masks off. Like,
it's right, just, that was a surprise. And that's in Texas, a state that's not doing very well. Yeah. Numbers-wise.
Yeah, it's strange. It's just strange how, like, people are just like, oh, well, you know, there's going to be exceptions. There's going to be people that are just lucky that can just go out there and not give it or get it.
Yeah, that's really frustrating.
Yeah.
And it's just not true. It just can happen to anybody, as it's been proven over and over again. All these different places where people get together without much mask usage and they're close together and they're shouting, there's problems. You know, there's super spreader events.
What is frustrating, there, you know, there will be a handful of people that just live their lives normally during this whole time while we've all been careful. And on the other side of this, they're going to be like, you never did this or this, while they just had a good old time, nothing happened. And that is beyond frustrating. They might have spread it. They might have been asymptomatic and killed somebody. You know?
Right, exactly.
So
We all might be murderers just for going out to the, you know, grocery store or whatever.
Well, because it was like you were saying, you know, this virus, it's going to affect everybody differently. So it may not hit you that hard, but then, like you're saying, like, what if you end up giving it to somebody else and it really jacks them up, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, I would hope people would feel some guilt about that, but they don't.
No.
It's weird.
I'd even feel guilt about that.
All right. Are you on question five, Millie?
Yeah. Last one. This is the hardest hitting one.
Oh no.
Are you for or against breakfast for dinner?
Oh, I'm for that. 100%.
Hell yeah, you are.
Yeah. Dude, I eat breakfast tacos every meal.
Oh man. Yeah. That's a good one.
I mean, breakfast tacos really changed the game because, you know, they just threw the word breakfast in front of something you don't eat at breakfast and then everybody's happy.
Bingo. Dude, there was a place in Austin that used to do a breakfast pizza.
Ooh.
Yeah, and it was a crust. So it was a pizza crust. Refried beans would be the tomato sauce. And then they put scrambled eggs and bacon and cheese and whatever else you wanted on
them. Oh, man. That's a lot, but it sounds good.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, all right, so, my last question is this, because we are out of time.
Yes, I love you both.
Trey, where do you go when you die? And by that I mean, what's the first thing you do after having a bad set?
Oh, I go to the alley and smoke a joint.
That's what I thought your answer was going to be. That's all it takes. It's just a nice session, and then you move on with your life.
Yeah, man.
Thank you so much for being so honest with all these hard-hitting questions, and thank you for not walking out of the interview like someone did to 60 minutes.
Hey, man. Look, I'm going to face my fears.
What should we call this episode? We usually do some sort of pun with the word Doug in it. How about clear the dugout?
Nice. I was trying to think of something three related.
Yeah.
What do you got to promote, Trey Galleon?
Go to my website, treygalleon.com, and you can get my album on there. You can get my To The Left t-shirt, Rolling Trey. There's links for all that stuff on there.
TREYGALYON.
On Twitter and Instagram. Yep.
Perfect.
Yep.
Doug Mellard, what do you got going on?
Finally, Fart Safari 3, Fart Hard with a Vengeance is coming out next month.
Oh, nice.
What's the date?
November 20th, Stand Up Records.
All right. We'll count it down every show until then.
Can't wait. Thanks, dude.
November 20th, Fart Safari 3. And I've got my next Rush Ticks show is going to be on November 7th. I think people are going to, no matter which way this goes, people are probably going to need a laugh the weekend after the election.
Yeah, there you go.
It'll be 4:20 Pacific time. $10 gets you in. And it's Rush Ticks, TIX.com. Thanks, Trey.
Hey, thanks you guys.
Thanks, Doug. Until next time. Clear the dugout.
Got it.